This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
In the parasha of Tazriah Metzairah, we learn about the Metzairah. What is the Metzairah a einish for? Chazal tell us that Be'ikr, there's a few things, but Be'ikr it's Lashon Hara, and that's the way the Rishonim take on, that Tzaras and Lashon Hara are connected. The Tzaras and Lashon Hara are connected. What is the limud that should be taken from the Tzaras? So if you look at the Rambam already brings us that some of the halachas are directly a lesson for the Metzairah as well as for the people around the Metzairah. And the Rambam writes, for example, the fact that he has to be b'chutz l'machane, that the Metzairah is told that he's tamei and he has to go out of the machane around people, he shouldn't be around the people because he is told he doesn't belong around people. Because when he's around people, what does he do? He speaks Lashon Hara, and he makes groups of litzanis, so to speak, things which are not supposed to be spoken. So we tell him, stay away from people. Bring the Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Tzaras Perik Tezayin Aloch Yud. So the Rambam Vim Oma Berisha Yachi Yisufu Mishtan Eirei Vitzareya Vyir Muvdu Umefursim Levada actually Sasik. Muvdu Umefursim means two things. Muvdu He and Mefursim means Klapi Chutz for the people. In the public's eye, he should be separated. Levadi alone, shlei sasek besichas harishayim, shehi alitzanis v'lashon hara. So the Rambam teaches us that the halacha, specifically that we tell the Metzairah to leave the machane, is to teach, is to make a lesson. You spoke lashon hara, gatherings of chabur of harishayim, stay away, stay alone, stay away from the people. And it is with this yisoid that we could learn all the halachas of Metzairah. That all the halachas in the Torah, that the Torah tells the Metzairah that he has to keep, chayr could be understood in this light, that it's lessons in Lashon Hara, both for him and for the people around him, for the people who are in his surrounding, to learn not to speak Lashon Hara. And I'd like to enumerate some of these halachas. Of course, it'll be almost impossible to go through every halacha in this light, in this vein. But some of them I'd like to point out. I'd like to begin with the simple beginning of the halacha of Vehuvel HaKohen. It's interesting that we take the Metzair, and we bring him to the Kohen. And the Kohen is the one that has to inspect him. The Kohen has to be the one to give him the examination. Then the Kohen is the one to paskin on him if he's Tamei or Taha. And why is it V'huvel HaKohen? You know, if he is a Nega, then go to a doctor. Let the doctor be the one to give him the inspection. And even if you feel that it has to be the Kohen, the one to say if he's Tamei or Tahor, all right, so, but the inspection should be done through a doctor. Be'emes Chazal already point out that it was somewhat of a demeaning thing to Aaron that he had to look to inspect people in their bodies in different places to check for tzaras, to the point that Moshe Rabbeinu already felt bad for Aaron HaKohen. That Moshe Rabbeinu said, why should Aaron HaKohen have to do this demeaning thing? Yeah. So we see that there's, even though it's a demeaning thing, it was given to Aaron HaKohen. Why? So I think there's a few things that can be learned and understood here. The simple pshat we could say is that he needs to come in contact with the Kohen. The Kayin is a person who is spiritually elevated. The Kayin is a person who's probably not a Baal Lashon Hara, as a Heilig Yid. He needs to see Heilig Yidin. He needs to see holy, holy people, to learn from them, to be inspired from them. A person who speaks Lashon Hara is a selfish, and as we're going to learn later, is the opposite of Kedusha. We're going to speak that Lashon Hara and the person who speaks Lashon Hara is the antithesis of Kedusha. He's the exact anti-Kedusha. He is mamish the opposite of the Kedusha. And so we tell him to come to the Kayin, because the Kayin will be mashpia. Mashpia. From the Kayin's behavior, from the Kayin's Kedusha, he'll be able to be inspired and thus learn a lesson not to speak Lashon Hara. This we could say on a simple level, but it's, I think, deeper as well. The question was, is it demeaning for Aaron HaKayin? So the Medrash says that Moshe felt so, and the Rabbeinu Shlalem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, don't feel bad for Aaron HaKayin. Why? He gets the Chav Dalid Matnei Kahuna. So Klal Yisrael pays him. He's on salary from Klal Yisrael, so he has to pay. He has to pay back his dues to society, so to speak. If the Bnei Yisrael support him, so to speak, the least he could do is take care of the Negayim, take care of these issues that they have. In the past, I've asked, what, so therefore he should come to your house and maybe be your plumber as well? Maybe he should come to your house and be your he should be an electrician for free. He should garden your garden for free because you pay him Matnas Kahuna. I mean, how did the point of him receiving Matnas Kahuna make it automatically, directly his responsibility to take care of the Negayim of Klal Yisrael? To the point that even if it's demeaning for him, he must do it. What was the Rabbeinu Shleilam's answer to Moshe Rabbeinu's question? It's demeaning for Aaron HaKohen and the Teretz of the Rabbeinu Shleilam. So what? He gets Matnas Kahuna. So because he gets Matnas Kahuna, he has to do a demeaning thing. And the answer to Chayyur Rabbi say we could say. There's an interesting Marsha we've spoken about many times before. Marsha says, why Bechlal does the Kayin get Matnas Kahuna? What is the reason for it? And the answer is, because his job is Levarech Esam Yisrael B'Ahava. To guarantee that he gives a bracha with love, with full feeling and full in the Yiddishak mit ganzen Herzen, because all his heart, you must have that the bracha should have for him in his bracha some advantage. So when he gives Klal Yisrael a bracha, they get parnosa, bracha and shefa and atzlacha. And mainly in return they give him matnas kahuna. So ultimately, the bracha has self-interest, and then we could guarantee that this should be done via hava. I'm thinking, maybe that's the pshat here too. You know, in order to paskin, taras, you need to have a hava for the people that you're paskining about. In order to be a kayin, in the role of kayin, with paskins against, so to speak, you tell him that he's tamei, it must be with a hava. And the hava comes from the fact that Klal Yisrael supports the kayin. We've spoken about this in the past, that the hava of the kayin is guaranteed and facilitated through the fact that the Yisrael cares for the Kayin to support him. The Ahava must come through in Tzumas Saras, in the Psak of the Kayin. And I'll explain to you what I mean. I've told you this in the past. The Rambam brings Lahalacha an interesting Mishnah, interesting din. In case the Kayin, we can't find the regular Kayin, we could go for a katan. We take a child. In case the child isn't he more found to be found? We could take a shaita. Someone who is mentally dissipated. Challenged. Mentally challenged. So he could be a kat and a shaita. The kayin upaskin saras. The question is, but he knows nothing. He don't know anything. Says the Rambam, we take a Talmud Chacham, someone who does know, and we bring him with the shaita and the katan, and we tell the Talmud Chacham Paskin, and the Talmud Chacham Paskins, and he tells the shaita or the katan, say Tameyata, say Taharata. So what's the whole point? What's the ceremony here? It's a ceremonial thing here. He's anyway not Paskin. He's a shaita, a katan. What's the point of having... So of course, the answer is Xeris HaKasov, the Tevazak, the Kayin. But like we see from the Rambam, all the halachas could be understood in the light, all the halachas of the Mitzayin could be understood in the light of lesson for both the Mitzayir and the people around them in Hilchas Lashon Hara, and I think there's a great lesson here. And that is, in order to stick your finger out and point at another Yid and tell him, Tamei Ata, it is only a job which is rightful to be given to someone who is either Aaron HaKohen or his descendant, who really loves Klal Yisrael. It is the Kohen in the morning that says, Asher kichanu b'kdushasei shel Aaron v'tzivanu levarech es am Yisrael b'ahava. It is he and only he that could stand in front of another Yid and tell him, Tamei Ata, you are Tamei. Nobody else has the right to directly, so to speak, confront another Yid and tell him, Tamei Ata. It was given to the Aaron b'ahava. And if you notice, the parasha Metzora begins. You come to the Kayin, El Aaron HaKayin, or El Echad Mibanav HaKayhanim. And the Mepharshim ask, what's the Chiddush? Come to the Kayin, whoever the Kayin is. And Rashi says, HaKayin B'yamecha. What would be the Chiddush in that? The Kayin B'yamecha. And I think there's a meiridical lesson here. The Torah is telling me not so much Kayin, but it's telling me why the Kayin, because the answer is it's either Ta'arain or Echad Mibanav, who follow in the Asher Kichanu B'dushasei Shalaharin. It's not so much the Kayin, Mitzad Kahuna, Mitzad Aveda, but it's the Kayin, Mitzad Aharin, or Echad Mibanav. In the Beis HaMikdash, there's Kahuna, Din Kahuna. And then there's Kahuna, who the Kayin is. The feelings that he has. Those feelings, those hergeshim, that ahava that he has for Klal Yisrael, that Aaron had, that he gave over Asher Kichanu B'kdushasei shel Aaron, that it was given over in the DNA of his children, so to speak. It is El Echad Mibanav HaKehanim that Tzaras was given to Paskin, and to deal with. And this is what the Chazal mean by Aaron, he gets Matnas Kahuna. What do you mean? So he gets Matnas Kahuna. And the answer is, there's a relationship of achrayis, of caring. The Kohen cares. The Kohen cares for the Yid. Almost as he looks at the Yid as his source of income. He looks at the Yid and he says, this Yid, he takes care of my Gashmias. It is my responsibility to take care of his ruchnius. They're attached. You know, the Gemara actually, and we'll talk about this a little bit later in the shir, speaks of a kayin as a twofold job, shlucha de rachmana and shlucha de Yisrael. Pshat, not shlucha de atzmai. There is no kayin. Kayin is selfless. The kayin stands for two things, the Rebbeinu Shleilam and Klal Yisrael. And the Rebbeinu Shalom wants that such a person who has only two things in his agenda, the Rebbeinu Shalom and Klal Yisrael, they should be the ones who deal with Tumas, Tzaras, in order to elevate, in order to facilitate the tahira of the mitzvah. You know, there's a meshechach merabesai, which I found this year, which I think is very much relevant to what we're speaking. Meshechach says, if you look at the pasuk, it says, V'ra'ahu ha-kayen, the kayen sees him, and the negai, it was bigger or smaller, and the pasuk continues. Frekta meshechach, it should have said, V'ra'ahu ha-kayen es ha-nega, which it says a few times, but in the beginning it starts, V'ra'ahu ha-kayen. He, the kayen should see him. Frekta meshechach, it's not him, it's the nega. Says the meshechach, no. The kayen has to look at the person that he's talking about. And he has to take in consideration the person and his situation. Sok the meshechach, I'll prove it to you. Because the halach is a chassin, who is a mitzayra, we don't look. He comes to the kayen says, he got 7 days off. Come back to me after the Sheva Bracha. See here? Why? And the answer is, V'ra'ahu ha-kayin. The kayin has to look and see the situation of the person he's talking about. Says, look the Meshechach. Don't look only at the Shaila, but look at the Shail. You see? This is a nusach I heard from my Rebbe, Rabbi Roth, Shlita, Carlos Brigadayan from Borough Park. He says, a Rav has to look not only at the Shaila, but at the Shail also. The Kayin was capable of the Rahu to see the person. He was able to detect in the person where the person's holding and what he needs, and to take into consideration the matzav of the person. And we're going to show you this a little bit even deeper. It's interesting, the halacha is that we have different types of negayim. Different types of negayim. There's negayim on the head, there's negayim here, there's different. One of the negayim we have is harosh, nega harosh. If you look at Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Mem Dalet, the Pasuk says, B'raishai nigay. His nega is in his head. B'raishai Yud Gimel Mem Dalet. Says the pasuk, Ish tsaruahu tamehu, tami tamena kayin bereishay nigai. Yeah, I mean that's what it is. It says clearly where it is. It says bekarachtei, ay begabachtei. Why would the pasuk id and stress and make emphasis bereishay nigai? Zogin the rishenim. The Torah is telling us, you know where this person's nega is. It's in his head. Where the nega pops up on the body is a lesson to the kayin to learn, to understand where this man is sick. The lashon hara he speaks is a result of a machla that he has. And sometimes that machla is in his head. It could be a gaiva, it could be a sinas yisrael, it could be many different things. Rooted in the head. But it could come from many things. Here, I'll give you an example. Let's say a guy speaks Lashon Hara because he thinks that he's better looking than the other guy. He's stronger than the other guy. He makes better money than the other guy. You know where his saras will end up? I don't know, either in his abs or maybe he'll add in his hand. He thinks he's a better runner than the other guy and he bereds the other guy in his feet. Say the Rishenim that the nega is a lesson of where the problem actually is. So in order for the person to grow and to be mesakin, he needed the kayin. Like a Rosh Hashiva, like a Bal Musa, like a Mashgiach, to teach him and guide him. That guidance needed to be through Aaron HaKayin with love. On one hand, someone who cares. On the other hand, someone who could guide him and tell him, you know where your nega is, nega bereishay. You know where else we find this? I'll show you another lashon. If you look in Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Nun Hey, pasuk uses again in us such an interesting lashon. The lashon v'hine lehafach hanega es einoi. It's interesting wording. What? Yehavetai, don't sleep. Shame the raid. What does it mean that the hanega lehava einoi? So einoi just means its complexion. So why does it just say marai? Why does it say einoi? So there's an alshich that says we're not talking about the nega anymore. Talking about the person, lehafach einai, his way of looking still didn't change. The tzaras was supposed to give him a whole new way of looking at things. The way he's supposed to look at other Eden. The tzaras was supposed to be a growing process of a person looking from within, what's wrong with me? Why did I get this nega? V'hine ha-nega lehafach es einai. The guy got locked in for 7 days. It should have made a difference on the way he views the world, the way he views other people, the way he views Klal Yisrael, the way he views himself, Klapi Tzibur. In many of the psukim, we find that the wording of the psukim connote this point. They try to bring out the point that the nega is the result. But the actual disease is deeper. It's either deep in his way of thinking or the way he looks at things. And the nega has to change that completely. And this is through the process of the halachas of tzaras. And as we speak, that first he goes to the kayin. He starts to see how a tzaddik behaves himself. How a kayin behaves himself. So that's the first lesson. He comes in contact. He's usually in the back of the shul, speaking with all the leitzim, like the Rambam says clearly. He's sitting by Moshe of leitzim. All of a sudden, he's given brought to a kayin, and he sees how the kayin speaks so sweetly, with such humility. The kayin that has kedusha, you see the way he talks, and the way he behaves, the way he treats people. This was supposed to be a training, a lesson for the mitzvah. Lesson number one. Uva alakayim. I'd like to show you a little bit more throughout the parasha, the halachas, the lessons to be taken side by the mitzvah and the people around him. And I begin, and again, I'm not going to go in order, but randomly different halachas. I'm not going to say I'm going to start from the beginning of the parasha to go through the whole thing, but different points that I've jotted down ideas that we could learn from them, from the Mitzaras and the Mitzayir, and that is the Seir Lavan. Complicated. Why? Normally Lavan, the Rishayim tell us, is always a sign of Tahira. Yet by the Tzaras, it's a sign of Tumah. The more it turns white, the more problem it is. Here's why. Famous Shiloh. Lavan is always a sign of Tahira. There's many terutzim. It's interesting, the Goyin learns that the Nega had to turn the hair white. It's not pshat there's a white hair in the Nega. That the Nega created a situation that the blacks turned white. So some want to say the pshat is that it's an old nega. You know, sometimes a person, yeah, he spoke one time, two times. But if he spoke many times, so the nega would have a white beard already. You know, it became an alta nega. This is already an old problem. So that's a simon of tumah. Some say that. I would say maybe it's a shail of maturity. You know, when it's young, he was immature, he spoke Lashon Hara, so maybe it's not so deep, it's more about his immaturity. But if he's Lavan, he's a mature person already, and he speaks Lashon Hara, that's already a sign that he's about Lashon Hara. Or maybe we could say a third pshat, Rabbi, and I think this is a beautiful pshat. You know where the main Lashon Hara and the main Chisaron is? That the guy walks around thinking that he is good and the other guy is no good. That you have Lavan walking around thinking that you're white and you're, that's part of the disease of the Mitzrayim. The Torah wants to teach you that the person who walks around thinking that he's rein, he's white, he's clean, while he talks up against the other person, that's what you, that's the sign of the Mitzrayim, where the Torah says you're a tummy dick of Mitzrayim. You know where the tum is? When a person believes by him it's white and by the other guy it's red, so to speak. The Torah wants to show you that that's the tum that you are engaging in. The Lavan who speaks Lashon Hara against the other person. And I'm going to show you where I got this from. Here it's an interesting dehev. The white is because that's where the Baal Lashon Hara thinks that he's clean. I'll tell you where I got this yisayin from. The Chayvus HaLevavos brings a medrash which nobody knows where it comes from. Chayvus HaLevavos says that when a person speaks Lashon Hara against another person, that person gets all the Baal Lashon Hara's mitzvahs, while you get all that person's averus. The Baal Lashon Hara gets the other person's averus. Over the years, I've asked many Talmidei Chachamim, Rabbi Olbam included, I mentioned it to Rabbi Olbam here, why should it be that way? What is the understanding behind, if I speak Lashon Hara, I get his mitzvahs, he should get my averus? So I was once at a bris where my Rebbe, Rav David Feinstein, was in attendance, and I went over to him and I spoke to him in learning, and at the end I asked him this question. So he tells me, what do you mean? He wanted to make that guy a Baal Averus. So we tell you, you know what? Take his Averus. So I said, good Rebbe, fine. That's why you get his Averus. Why does he get your mitzvahs? He tells me it's only fair. A trade is a trade. Kiss me, you gotta give him something in return, right? So he you get his ring, he gives you back your Averus, and that becomes the a pro quo. What do you call that?
Quid pro quo.
Okay. I never understood what my Rebbe meant with this. Till today I still don't understand. But I would like to explain a little bit. And maybe this is what my Rebbe meant. And if not, either way, I think it's a Meiridik of Pshat. You spoke about the other person that he's a Baal Averus. You put him down. You minimized him, right? You know what the Rebbeinu Shlom is saying? Who's the Baal Averus? You'll be the Baal Averus. What are you talking about him for? He's a complete tzaddik. You're the Baal Averus. You know something? Talk about yourself. What'd you say? Now that guy did this. No, you did that. Guess what? You're that. The Torah wants that the person should start learning that when I put down or I minimize or I'm a vatel somebody else, you're actually what? Don't put him down because you're putting yourself down. And there's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, Kol ha-poisel, b'mumay hu poisel. A person, when he posels, he's actually posseling himself because he has those chisroinus. Now, Pasha Pshat in the Gemara means that if I think that that person's a ganef, usually I'll be a ganef. Otherwise, why would I think that? If I think that guy does this and this wrong, if it's not something that I do, I wouldn't think he does. Why should I? You know, people who are at tzaddikim, and this we're going to talk about a little bit later. Remember, we're going to come back to this point. People who are righteous, who are pure, do not see chisroinus in other people. It's only because you have that chisaron that you're able to look at the other person and say that he has it. Otherwise, why you don't think in those terms at all? You know, most mafia think that every other guy's a mafia. Every guy's out to rob. Why? Because that's what they do. The purer the person, the more he only sees good in the other person. So if a person belittles the other So the Torah says, guess what? We'll take all his Averis and give it to you. He's not that. You're that. It's you. It's not him. Now go talk. Look in the mirror and talk. You won't talk to the mirror. Talk to yourself. That's the Pshat Rabbi Sai. In when we have a lesson of Seir Lavan means, or that the Nega is Lavan, part of the problem is where you think you're clean, and it is because of your thinking of that you're clean that you walk around beretting other people, and that's Tumah. With this Rabbi Sai, I would like to explain an interesting insight. How does Negayim follow into Tumah? Something that I've questioned all my life. I mean, L'chayra, if Nega means Saras, which means Lashon Hara, so why Tumah? Where did the Tumah? Isser. There's an Isser of Lashon Hara. There's a Tumah of Lashon Hara. So if a person speaks Lashon Hara, he's metame his mouth. The word Tumah in the same chapter as Lashon Hara needs to be explained. Where is the Tumah? It should be discussed in the light of Isser. Yeah, person b'chal Shabbos, Tumah. Somebody Dikara, I thought about it for many years. What's the pshat? Besides, we also have to understand why is it that the Einish is through Negayim? Why this Einish? You want a person speaks Lashon Hara, you know what? Just take away all his money. Person would feel just as bad. Why does it have to be through a Nega? And I think the Teretz might be Negayim begin by you seeing the Nega by the other person. You see? You find fault, you find chisaron. A nega is a chisaron. So it mirrors that you get that nega. The moment you find a nega by somebody, the Torah says, we're going to give you that nega because it's actually by you. And how does it have to do with Tumah? So I'll tell you pshats like this. You know, it's interesting that he calls out, I'm Tumah. Where does the Tumah come from? There's an interesting Kedushas Levi. The Kedushas Levi says, in the parish of Kaddishli called B'chor, we have Tefillin. The Torah teaches us about why. How did Kaddishli, why is that the context, the chapter, where Tefillin is being taught? Kaddishli kol b'char petakarechem, and then it says tefillin. Says the Kedushas Levi something so interesting, so profound. Megadik. B'char is the ultimate Kedusha of Adam. When a person is a b'char, he's kaddish, mamish, belonging to the Beis HaMikdash. Tefillin is Kedusha. What is the Kedusha's tefillin? Zakta Kedushas Levi. Rabbeinu Shlom says, Mikam Yisrael, while Klal Yisrael says, Hashem Echad. To be able to live, Hashem and Klal Yisrael. To be able to live that I am strictly the Rabbeinu Shlom's, so to speak, this is what I'm Oivid, this is what I live for, as well as I live for Mikam Yisrael. And that I speak good things about Klal Yisrael, this is also the ultimate Kedusha. And that even a Yisrael can reach Kedusha's Bechair through such means. Maybe. I know. Wait a second. You're listening to Teirah Beisai. Kaddish li kol Bechair. Kol Bechair can mean even the regular Yisrael. How do you become B'nai Bechair Yisrael? And the answer is through the idea of Tefillin, Rebbeinu Shleilam, and Klal Yisrael Mikamcha Yisrael. He says people who speak good things against for in Saniguria for Klal Yisrael are Kadosh B'Kedushas B'char. Meirdik, if you realize the depth of what he's saying, see, Meirdik is ach. A person who is able to speak. Klal Yisrael's Ma'ilus, together with the Rebbeinu Shlom's Ma'ilus, See, most people are able to say tremendous shvachim about the Eibishter. But could they walk around seeing and talking only Milos and Klalis? Well, that's very few. The slave was able to do it. Right? That's ultimate Kedusha. And that's Kedusha's Bechar. And I'd like to shtel tzu that that's Pshat Asher Kitshanu B'Kedushasei Shalaharin. What is Kedusha Saharin? It's Yivonu Levarach Hasam Yisrael B'Ahava, that they're able to reach that Madrega that they love Klal Yisrael so much. That's Kedusha. That itself is Kedusha. You speak Lashon Hara, there's Tumah. And like I explained to you, that the Tumah is actually not even the Tzaras. There's something in you. There's something deep inside. A Tumah that leads you to be able to speak Lashon Hara against something so Kaddish as Klal Yisrael. You hear, Rabbi? You hear? The fact that you speak good things about Klal Yisrael, says the Kedushas Levi, is Kaddishly, it's in the same parasha of Kedushas Bechar. A person who's not a Bechar, how does he reach? And the answer is through the idea and the concept of what tefillin stand for. And that is, Reimen Mus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I see Hashem's greatness, and I exalt His greatness, as well as Mikamcha Yisrael, I exalt the greatness of Klal Yisrael. This is the idea of Kedusha, and that's why he has to come to the Kayin. Now you have why he comes to the Kayin. I started off this year by asking you, why is it the job of the Kayin, the Tumah and Kedusha, and Tahira of the Mitzayra? And the Teretz is because Kedusha's Kahuna is the exact opposite of Tumas Tzaras. The Tumah of the Mitzayra is the antithesis, the exact opposite of the Kedusha of the Bechar, of the Kayin. The Kayin is Shlucha D'Rachmana V'Shlucha D'Idan. He carries the Tefillin. Tell me, where do we learn the halachas of Kedusha's Tefillin from? Learn from the Tzitz. Because Aaron HaKayin carried with him the Tefillin, the idea of Tefillin B'Roshay 24/7. Aaron HaKayin, the Tzitz, the shame, the Tzitz is where we learn all the halachas of Tefillin, of Hasachas Das. It's all learned from the Tzitz. The Kayin's head, if I may say, was a Tefillin. Because all the Kayin walked around thinking was, I have to be Eved, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shlucha Der, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Shlucha Der Yisrael. That's Tefillin. That's Kedusha's Tefillin. That's Kaidish Lashem. You know what Kaidish Lashem means? The head of a Kayin is busy 24 hours a day. The Rebbeinu Shlom's Aveda and Klal Yisrael's Kapara. Klal Yisrael's Tahira. That's Kaidish Lashem. Something that only the Kayin Gadol. And when the Mitzayir talks and he becomes Tameh, so the Kayin is there to help him, to elevate him, to be Mitayir him. And that's why it's the job of the Kayin. The Ramban asks an interesting question. If you look at the Psukim, it says by the Mitzayir of the Chiper. The Chiper. Twice. Says the Ramban, why does he need two kaparis? Maybe it's kedai to read the Ramban inside, if you give me a minute. Oh. The Ramban says as follows. Zok the Ramban, that twice it says in the Pasuk that the Kayin comes and takes the karbonis, the Chiper all of our Kayin. Frek the Ramban, why does he need two kaparis? So Ramban says, one, because he did an Averit before he became a Mitzayir, by speaking Lashon Hara. And the second thing he did wrong was, when he's already a Mitzayir, he probably spoke against the Eibishter in complaint on his situation. And therefore he needs a second kapara. Azei Zok the Ramban. Azei Zok the Ramban. Rabbeisa, I would say, maybe, Luli Divrei Ramban, that he actually needs two kaparas. One, for speaking Lashon Hara. The other, at the time that he was speaking Lashon Hara, he should have been speaking good things again for Klal Yisrael. He should have been praising the other person. The Archa Sadikim writes that when a person speaks Lashon Hara, he's actually doing two things wrong. Why? He says, if a person is not a talker, so let him not talk. Let's say a guy says, I love to schmooze, I love to talk. So tell you good things. You're right. You like to talk. You can't control yourself. So say good things. Train yourself to say good things. So the fact, like there's a very famous guy, and the guy says that on every aver you do, asid litev, lifnei miat, asid din, v'cheshbein. What is din and chesh? What are the two things? Zok the guy in din is on what you did wrong. And cheshbein is we make a chesh what you could have done right at that time. So listen, in the time that you could have been doing while you were doing this aver, you could have been learning, you could have been dab, you could have done something constructive. That's din for what you did. Cheshbein, what you could have done at that time that you did the thing wrong. There's a din for cheshbein rabbeis and lashon hara too. There's a din what you did wrong. He spoke lashon hara. There's a cheshbein because he spoke lashon tov, which was misani guri shel Yisrael, which could have elevated you. How many karbanos does the mitzvah bring? Two tzi parim. We know that tzipor is about what? Speaking. Mitzavtzef, like the bird. So why two? Echel lechatas ve'echel le'eila. What's the pshat? Echel lechatas ve'echel le'eila. Why? Pshat's like this. One is for the aveva. One tzipor. The other tzipor, you should have spoken good things. Eila. You should have elevated yourself. Don't you understand? There's two parts to your lack of speech. Your chisavon in your speech. The first thing is one is a degrading chet. A tzipor. The other one should have been an ayla. Tzipor, ayla, the speech could have been an elevated speech. You could have said nice things about the other person and got a mitzvah. You could have spoken divrei Torah. You could have davened instead. Two tziporim, miyadakzach, that's the two kaparis that he needs. With this rabbeisai, I would like to explain a few more nekudas in the halachas of mitzvah. Do we have tzaras today? No, we don't have. Baal Shech says we're not ready to have tzaras today. Mitzayir is something special that the Eibishter Mami shows Ashgacha practice. That as soon as you speak Lashon Hara, that's a special intervention. Mamish, the Eibishter's hand clear, we're not fit and ready to see such Ashgacha Gluya in today's time. The Chinuch says that Tumas Tzaras is Tali on Kehanim Haroyim Lirois Negayim. Kehanim that are fit and capable of seeing Negayim. So the Chazanish Taka writes the Halacha in Hilchas Negayim, Perik Yigim Lois Yitzayim, that it's Negev Bezman Hazeh. According to the Chazanish, we could theoretically have Tumas Nega because the Kehanim could learn Masechta's Negayim. The Chinuch says it's all based on Kehanim who could paskin. Why can't they paskin like anything else? The same way they learn Hilchas Shechita, they'll learn Hilchas Tumas Tzaras. I'm thinking, Efshar. The Chinuch is saying something completely different. You need Kehanim who are equipped to see a Nega and understand the Nega. We don't mean that they're able to see the Nega and paskin what it says in the Mishnayis. We mean that they need to be equipped to understand. And that means to see the person, and to see the matziv, and to see that is what the kayin is there for. The kayin with his kedusha, the kayin with his insight, the kayin with his ahava, was able to sum total the package and figure out what this person needs in order for him to be Nisala. I'll show you an example. He gets locked up for 7 days in case it's a suffix, right? Okay. My question to you is, what is the 7 days for? It's an interesting halacha. And the answer is, the person probably is somewhere in the middle, right? Which means, If he does tshuva, maybe he'll get better. If he doesn't do tshuva, he'll get worse. He's somewhere a Beinoni-like. Like the Beinonim are tluyim v'ayimdim between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, this mitzvah l'chayre is a Beinoni. Or maybe there's a lesson both for the mitzvah and for the people around him, and that is, give it time to decide. Don't jump. Don't come to such quick conclusions. When a person has to paskin about someone else's nega, patience. Give it a 7 days. Come back and analyze it a second time. You know, one of the halachas of a nega is v'hinei ma'ar nega ein is amoik or einai amoik mi'abasar. There's different types of negayim, deeper, not deeper in the basar. What is that all about? You know what the answer is? Like I explained to you, the kohen has to detect how deep is the nega, because when the person spoke against the other person, he could have spoken about a chisaron, which is really external. And if you look deeper into the person, he would see that that person is not so bad, and the things you said about him are not so true. Then you know what kind of a nega you would get? Nega, which is aim, is amik, or ainay amik. It was supposed to, the amik is also part of the lessons of where the mitzayir is sick, how deep is his tsaras? Is it external or is it deeper than the skin? How deep does it go? And also how much you mitzayir spoke against the other person. Maybe the other person has a nega, but maybe it's only external. It's ainay amik min abazar. All this was the training that the Kohen had to be able to focus in like a big mashgiach, like a big bal musar, to analyze through the nega the spiritual standing of the person that stands in front of him. V'ra'ahu ha-Kohen. Had to sum it up. You see, it's interesting. Yeah, there's deep, not deep. Deep in the skin. There's lessons to be learned about deep and not deep. Is this guy's skin deep, nega, or it's deeper? Is the other person that you spoke about, maybe it's just an external wound that he has, an external chisaron that he has? And all this goes into the report, so to speak. Into the final, what do we call that from the doctor, the final diagnosis, that's the word I'm looking for. The final diagnosis of the doctor, the Kohen, takes all this into account. I want to show you something interesting. The Mitzayra has to announce he's Tamei. Tamei, Tamei, Yikra. Why does he announce he's Tamei? So you would say because people should stay away from him. That's not what Chazal say. Chazal, Rashi brings it down. Kiloidia tzarei l'rabim. Kadesh Yavakshu Olav, that they should dump him. Yes, the Chafetz Chaim. So that's not a mitzvah. I mean, anyway, he needs people to dump him. It's like a person who's sick. He should tell people that they should dump him. I mean, why is it like a mitzvah? Tome, he's got to announce it. Answers the Heilige Chafetz Chaim. Meirdik. Yeah. The Mitzayra, Abish is not interested in his tefillos. He can't dump for himself. So he has to ask Leidia Tzari L'Rabim that they should dance for him. I would like to add with the words of the Chafetz Chaim, the Rashi is very meduyik. Leidia Tzari L'Rabim. He should just say Leidia that he has a tzaras. Why tzara? His pain? You know what it's referring to? Having a tzaras a chayli and not being able to daven is Tzarei l'rabim. Greatest tsar is when a person has nowhere to turn to. People who are sick know that one of the greatest outlets, so to speak, that they have is that they can daven to the Eibishter. They have who to turn to. Ki avi v'imi azuv, Hashem yasveini, you have who to turn to. Shivtecha mishantecha heimini achmuni, I know you're close. This mitzoyra gets sick, discommunicated, and he can't even turn to the Avish to the Davin. I believe that's what it means, Tsarai. He's Megalat Tsarai, the Tsar of not being able, and he tells them to daven for him. That's Megah, Moidia Tzari L'Rab. Other Mepharshim say, you know why he has to do this? Because nobody's allowed to walk around saying that. You heard that guy, he became a Mitzayra, look at that. Because that itself is Lashon Hara. Right? So the only person that can walk around telling everybody is him. The Mishnah, a guy's sick. So he could come and say, you heard Chanyankel is sick. So you can daven for him. But here you say, you heard Chanyankel is sick. Well, what are you going to do? You can't talk about it. See, he has to be my dear L'Rab, Briska Terrence. You know, Rabbi, so what I would say, Pshat, I've told you in the past a beautiful story that when I was, I'd say, living in Brooklyn years ago, maybe 12, 13 years ago, I lived in Brooklyn, Chalamayd, my children needed a minyan sukkis, not 9, 10 o'clock, you know, one of these... Shachas during Mincha time, you know, that's the type of minyan we needed. Yeah. They woke up, I don't know, they were kids at the time, and I can't really blame them, you know, it was Chalamayd. So I told them, I'm going to take them to Bavli, that's the only place which I think you could still get a minyan at the 12, 1 o'clock, you know. Huh? Not Shabbos, Chalamayd. Shabbos. Whatever, I'm just, you got what I can. Little did I know that there was going to be an historic event in my life that took place. I told you ever? An historic event that took place that changed my whole life. Not just changed my life. Well, it's a story. But I want to give you a little bit history behind the story. This goes back 12 years ago. 20 years ago, 19 years ago, my son Yitzchak was born. Yitzchak was born in NYU Hospital on First Avenue in Manhattan. It was a whole nighter. Erev Rosh Hashanah. Okay? The night before Rosh Hashanah. A whole night. You know, the first babies are mamish all nighters, you know, until the baby comes out. And on top of that, my shviger was there. So that made the labor a lot more. Okay, you got my. I don't have to finish the statement, right? She's a wonderful lady. I'm just joking.
Shriek, baby.
Whatever, you know, it was a. In the morning, the baby finally comes out, and my shviger Baruch Hashem is cranky because of the whole night. She needs a coffee. I said, I'll get you the coffee. Believe me, it's more for me than it is for you, that you should drink the coffee. Just kidding. If she ever listens to this, I'm just joking. It's just for theatrical entertainment, okay? And if she doesn't listen to it, so I mean what I, well, most of what I'm saying. Okay. Pizza. I went down, see, they have, by the way, a kosher cafeteria on the ground floor. 6:30 in the morning. I come in there. It's pretty full for a cafeteria. A lady comes over to me. You could tell she was more modern, orthodox, you know. With such a glee in her face, you heard what happened in Bavli. I said, what happened in Bavli? I thought maybe Bavli Rebbe was there, but why would she be smiling so much? I couldn't. I said, I'll tell you the truth, I didn't hear nothing. I was a whole night with them. I don't know what's going on in the outside world. I just know my baby upstairs. That's what I know. They found by two of the Hasidim of Babi that with drugs, they caught them and they arrested them. The pain I felt when she said that to me with such glee. She was trying to put down, you see, look at the ultra-Orthodox Jews, look how they behave. To me, it was like they spoke against my own brother. I had such pain from it, though. I couldn't understand how could I. What are you so happy about? And in nature, I usually don't respond. I'm not a kanoi. People know me. I've never ever responded, you know. But here, I felt the need that it must be. I have to respond. I must say something. The covet of Klal Yisrael. Covet of Klal Yisrael. I can't keep quiet. So I said to her, tell me, if you ever fell in the street with a heart attack, tell me, who would come to your rescue? Nobody. Why? Everybody be afraid, right, of getting sued. People are careful. Mm-hmm. Right? The only people that would come rushing to your aid is Hatzalah, these Baba Chassidim that you're talking about. Don't talk against them. You might need them one day. That's all I said. Don't talk to me. You never know if you'll need them one day. And I was very impressed where it came from. I forgot to tell you that in preparation, in answering, I turned and I said, Rabbi, you should put the words in my mouth. Give me the right, and it had to be from the Eibishter, because I can't come up with this on my own. This is, you know, this is right. In Hebrew we call it kalel amatara, bullseye, right? Perfect answer. Huh? And I walked away. Wow, you know, you got it in you. Not bad, you know. Huh? Years later, I tell you, I take my children to, and Yitzhak is one of the people who need the minyan, right? I take Yitzhak to Baba. I tell him, 45 minutes, you know, if you dine me at 12 o'clock, 45 minutes is good enough for you, even on Chalmoyd Sukkot, trust me. If you're so mocked about tefillah, you could walk up early. In 45 minutes to 50 minutes, I'm picking you up in front of the day has to start. You know, you can't start the day at 1 o'clock, right? Okay. 50 minutes later, I stopped by, you know, I went to do a few errands. They come out, my children, and Pinchas puts his esrig, and he says, you know, Ty, I forgot my lulav in the base medrash. I said, all right, another 10 minutes. I just go get the lulav, and I'm waiting out here. All of a sudden, I hear screaming, Zyphozotik, Yankel, Zyphozotik, be careful, Atabix, he has a gun. I'm thinking, gun, where? I'm looking all over. I couldn't figure out what? A Spanish person was trying to abduct a Yiddish kid, a Yiddish child. The Baba see them coming out of Bishmerish with their little bit asterisk. They see this. What is their response? Another guy runs. They were running to save the kid and they were screaming to each other, be careful when you go. And you confront the guy, he has a gun. So instead of running from, they're running to each one, warning the other one, be careful. Atabix, he has a gun. I'm standing there in the car. I would have left, trust me. But I had my son inside. And I'm witnessing right in front of my face this thing. They pinned the guy down. The police came. I couldn't move till after the police because they blocked off the whole street. There was. When I left, I saw, look at unbelievable. It's like an unbelievable what a Jew has in himself. Selflessness to go, to run, to save another kid. Another guy, he hears a gun. He's out of there. Right? Running, no matter what, with the lulav and the estrig out of the bub of a bismash. I said, Rabbi Yishon paid me back for the years before when I protected the honor of the bub of the chassidim. And I said, you never know when you'll need them. Don't talk against them. I saw firsthand the mile of what they could achieve, what a Jew is capable of doing. All my life, this changed me for life. I said, always, Hashem paid me back in this world to understand what it means to say good things about Klal Yisrael. I think Rabbi said that's the pshat here too. The Mitzayra spoke bad. Rabbi Yisrael wants he should be my dear Tzari L'Rabim. See the Rabbim, what they do for you. It's the same people that you're going to talk against, they're going to sit down for you. You hear Rabbi say? My dear Tzari, today, here, who's going to come visit you? Your neighbors. It's the same neighbors you spoke Lashon Hara against. And they're going to daven for you. Now you know not to speak against them. You never know, you might need them one day. You might need them one day. The Ma'il of Klal Yisrael is Rabbim. And I want to tell you a little bit further, more Rabbi Yisrael. You know, Rosh Chodesh, when we bench Rosh Chodesh, we say, B'schus tefilas Rabbim, tefilas Rav. It's a whole question, what Nusach.
You said it.
Some say Rabbim, Rabbim. Some say it together, Rabbim, Rabbim. So let me tell you what the controversy is about. Rav made up the Nusach of Birchas HaChayish. It's Rav. The Mefarshim, the Oitzat Tefil, says, so why do we have to announce that it's Rav? Every time we have a Tefillah, we have to announce who made up the Tefillah. B'schus the Tefillah was the person who made it up. It's a good question. I mean, why would I say B'schus the Tefillah is Rav? What's this? from the Chunya ben Akana. Do I say the bracha? He writes it b'schus from the Chunya ben Akana. From the Chunya could have made the thing that when you walk into the base measure, that's in the Yirat. So why I have to say b'schus from the Chunya ben Akana? So other mafarshim say it means tefilas rabu. What does tefilas rabu mean? What? You notice we say chaverim kol Yisrael. That's what we. And I want you to understand, when we say chaverim kol Yisrael, we don't just mean that you could just say it. I remember I was once in a shtiebel in Borough Park. I also woke up late one Shabbos. I went to the local shtiebel, and there were two people talking, and they spoke against everybody on the block. Everybody, mamas, I better get away from here before the ground opens up, and it's a whole piece of time. Then when it came to Birchas HaChodesh, the same guy who talked against everybody got up, Chavayim Kol Yisrael, and he starts clapping with his hands, Chavayim Kol Yisrael, and I thought to myself, the clapping ain't going to make it real, you know what I mean? Either you believe it or you don't believe it. You can't sit and talk Lashon Hara and not think Chavayim Kol Yisrael, and then say a scream, Chavayim Kol Yisrael. Why do we say this, Chavayim Kol Yisrael? So the Mepharshim say we're asking for very big things. I don't know if you realize. We ask for Yikabetz, Nidachenu, Mi'arbakam, Vis'oret. We're asking HaChodesh HaZelochet, the whole Chodesh should be Shefa, Bracha, Parnosa, Refuah. That's not a regular tefillah. That needs tefillas Rabim. That's the schus of a tefillah of a Rabim. What creates tefillas Rabim? It's not just 10 people sitting together and davening. If you know, many Siddurim have this, that before you start to daven, you should be mekabel on yourself, mitzvahs ve'hafta l'riyacha kameicha. Why? It should be tefillas rabim. In order for it to be a tefillas rabim, it has to be that the rabim meshed into one unit, into one entity. And then it becomes the schus of the tefillas rabim. Their baal lashon hara is mafrit. Like the Rambam says, that's why he's michutz lamachna. So you know what we tell him? Come and be my dear tzarei l'rabim. Why the word rabim? Kadesh yavakish. It means that the rabim should be nevakish, that it should be a chibur, that they should come together again. And in this chus, he should heal himself. It's a tikkun on the pirud that he caused. He causes that it should be a pirud. So it doesn't mean l'idea l'rabim shiyavakish. It's l'idea. It's that the rabbim should daven for him as a tefilas rabbim, as a v'yahavta l'riyacha kameicha. And this becomes the lesson for the mitzayim. With this, Rabbi said, I want to explain to you something very beautiful. What do you think? I'm finished. I'm not finished. I have another hour to go.
Take your time.
Take my time. Good. Baruch Hashem. Thank you. I think Rabbi said we could say a meiri dekepshat. Okay? And the truth is, we are coming pretty close to the end. I've just explained to you that the Lashon Hara that goes on in the life of the Mitzayir and the Tzaras that he gets and that the Kayin's involvement, it's deeper than just Isser. It's Kedusha, it's Tahira. It's, you see clearly you want the Kayin to be busy with his Tumah. And I explained to you because the Lashon Hara is a direct result of something deep that's missing. It's a chisarn of Kedusha. Therefore, there's a tum, and the tum is a taras. I think with this we can explain an unbelievable Gemara. The Gemara says in Bamitziyah, that pei vav amir aleph, the Gemara brings down in Aseichas HaPayalim that what happens if you have a suffix by the Baheres, if the white hairs were there before or not. Halach is the white hairs have to be after, hafach. We don't know. What happens when you don't know? Okay. So, the Gemara says that this is a machlokes heaven and earth. Literally. That the Rebbeinu Shleilam paskins that it's tahir. Mesifta derakia paskins that it's tahir. Here, we paskin its tummy. The Rambam paskins tummy because Torah lav b'shamayim. So the Gemara says, who's going to paskin for us? We'll ask Rav Shimon bar Nachmeni. Why? He's a baki in tum and tahiru. He's mamish a baki and tsaras and mitzvah. He knows these halachas well. So they asked him, and he answered tahar like the Eibishter. The yatsa nishmasin. He passed away. Passed away. Says the Gemara Ashrecha. What? Where do you live?
Did he die?
It's a Gemara. You know, bring me the Gemara.
Okay,
I know you believe it, but let's read it inside. It's an unbelievable Gemara. Zak the Gemara. Ashrecha Reb Shimon. You hear? Reb Shimon, praised are you. Sheyatza nishmascha b'tahayra. That your neshama left with purity. It was Rabba, could be it's Rabba. That's why I always like to double check. You know what? Since you bring me the Gemara, pei vav, it's like six lines to the top, six, seven lines to the top. Zakti Gemara. You ready? Rabba Bar Nachmeni. That's what it is. Agav Shamda. Yeah, it was Rabba Bar Nachmeni. Okay, here it is. Says the Gemara, the Kagaris, Kamiflegi, Bemisifta Darki, and Behaz Kedem, and say, Love and Tommy, and say, Love and Kedem, and Behaz Tah Safik. What happens if it's a Safik? Akash Baruch Oim et Tahar, the Kula Mesifta Darki, and the whole Mesifta Darki, they say Tommy. The Amri, and we said, Ma Neuchach, who's going to prove this? Rabba Bar Nachmeni. The Amr Rabba Nachmeni, Ani Yachib in the Gayan, Ani Yachib in the Halais, Shadri Shlich Abasri. So they sent the Shliach after him. Lehavimatzi, Malchamovas, Lemikrib Leh. The Malchamovas couldn't get it. They wanted him to come up to Shemayim. They couldn't get it. Midlam Kapasim put Megirsi. He didn't stop learning. Adahachi Nash of Zika. A wind blew. The Avish Bein Ikani. Savar Gunda. He thought it was an army. Kitzer, he died because he stopped learning. Says the Gemara, Ki Kanach Nafshei. When he went up to Shemayim, what did he say? Tar, tar. Yatsa sabaskal v'amra ashrecha rabba ba nachmeni shegubcha tahayim v'yatsa sa nishmascha b'tahayim. Yeah, but I don't understand. All he said was the word tahar, so what? How did it become that your guf is tahar and that your neshama is left of the world with b'tahayim? Well, because he said the word tahar. And they said Pshat is Givaldi. To see a Safik at the Paskin Tahir, Kumfun Tahir, the Rabbeinu Shloilam, who's the Mekaira Tahir. Lifne mi ate mitahirim mi mitahir eschem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mekaira Tahir. So the Rabbeinu Shloilam sees Tahir when there's a Safik. Ashrecha Rabba Banachmeni Shigufcha, you're also Tahir. And the raya is because you see it through the lenses that the Eibishter sees it. That a Safik is actually tar. And this sums up everything I just spoke. Those that see beauty in Klal Yisrael. Those that see everything, even when there's questions, Safik. They see tahir. This is Rabbeisai. Tahira, tahira, tahira. This is Kedusha. This is Aaron HaKohen B'Ahava. Reverse, when a person sees everything negative, thus is tumeh, tumeh, tumeh. This is where the tumeh comes from. It depends on what's inside the person. And I just want to end with the following. So someone could ask, so what's the solution? What's the solution? And the answer is Torah. It's because the Gemara says clearly, and I'll tell you an interesting, the Pasuk says that if a person has saras, he comes to the Kayin. So if you look at the Targum Yonasan says, Mahalech L'Sifraya. He goes to the yeshiva. They all ask, you ever saw the Bava V'Rav speaks about it. It's a very nice shayla. In Kedusha Tzion, in fact, the Bava V'Rav, what does it mean? Mahalech L'Sifraya. What does it mean? So he brings the Gemara, that the Gemara says that a person is a mitzayra, ultimately, the biggest and best thing he could do for himself is go back to yeshiva and learn. To go back to yeshiva and learn. Why? Because Talmud Torah is mechaper on Lashon Hara. Azei zok the Gemara in Hayrius. So he says, what's the pshat? Mahalach, he has to go to Sefraya, which means it's not enough to be mechutz lamachne. He needs to go and clean him. He has to have the ultimate cleansing, and that would be to go to... How is it so? Doesn't say. Nobody's masbir for us. Why is Talmud Torah the solution to Lashon Hara? So either you could come and say, you spoke Lashon Hara with your mouth, with your words, so learn Torah with your words. Torah, words, words. Or maybe we could say a maybe because you know where Lashon Hara comes from? Lashon Hara comes when inside you're empty. That's where Lashon Hara comes from. When a person is empty, something missing inside. And you start talking Lashon Hara. The person is Kadosh. Like it says in the Gemara, he was busy learning. Gufcha Kadosh. He was busy learning, Rabbi Vanachmi. Like Pasid Pumi Megirsei. Gufcha Kadosh. When the person inside is Kadosh, he's learning. There's not giving. And I want you to know, and I'm going to end with this, some of the worst Lashon Haras that ever have been spoken in the history were between two Chavrusas when they're battling. It's interesting.
What?
When two Chavrusas stop learning and they take off time to Shmuyas, some of the worst Lashon Hara comes out from those sessions. Most people, they're busy, they don't have time. You sit by the Gemara and you're learning and you battle. Where does that come from? It comes from this Yisai. When a person is empty inside, at that moment, that's where the Lashon Hara, that's where the Lashon Hara, the Tumme, starts to come. And with this we can come and say, Zayis Tairas HaMitzayra. Tairas HaMitzayra? Why? Little son, that? Zayis Tairas HaMitzayra. I'll tell you more. So what does it say? At first it says, Zayis Tairas HaYiladis. And then it says, Zayis Tairas HaMitzayra. Says the Rashi, first he was teaching us the Torah, right, of the Yeledes, and then Tairas Adam, the Torah of the person. Let's see the Rashi. The Rashi, like this, you see, clear Zak Rashi. You hear Zak Rashi? Yeah, Zak Rashi, Zak Rashi. Oh. Amarim Simlai, Kishem Shitzirasi Shaladam Acha Kalbehem Lechai Ve'ev Meisi Bereshis, Kach Terasa Nispash Acha Teres Behem Lechai Ve'ev. I don't understand. Isha ki sazriya v'yolda zacha. And then right away it talks about Taras, no? If you want to go talk about Tairas Adam, what are you talking about here? Isha ki sazriya v'yolda zacha, v'tama. Yeah, then all of a sudden it talks about anandra tumma, mitzayatumma, mitumma, mitvaita tumma. That's called Tairas Adam. You couldn't think of anything else to give me Tairas Adam. You know Tairas Adam? Shabbos, Yontich, what's... Talks about the behemah chayiv tmeis. That's called Torah's behemah. And now we're starting to talk about Torah's Adam. What's Torah's Adam? When you're born, you're tummy. Then you speak to Lashna, you're tummy. Tummy, tummy, right to tummy. That's Torah's Adam. You know what he's trying to say? I made a Torah's Adam. You know what Adam is? You know what Torah means? Torah's Adam. When there's no Torah's Adam, the void is tummy. The void is tumah. Tairas Adam is showing you that a person could reach levels of kedusha, yet he could reach levels of tumah when he's void of kedusha, and that's the chiddush of Tairas Adam. So this is what we have to take from the mitzvah lessons: tumah, to see nega by the other people, and to speak lashon hara, and it all comes from one thing: that deep down there's something missing. There's a Kedusha that's missing. There's an Avodas Hashem that's missing. This is the lesson that we're supposed to take from the Mitzvah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.